It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recently announced over $3 million in Affordable Care Act funding will be divided among five new health center sites in Pennsylvania. The funding will allow these centers to provide health care services to communities needing the most. Joining us to discuss the importance of health centers is Susan Friedberg-Kalson. She is CEO of the Squirrel Hill Health Center, a funding recipient. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
Let's start by having you explain the kind of health care your center provides.
So Squirrel Hill Health Center is what is called a federally qualified health center. We are a community-based health center. We provide comprehensive primary preventive outpatient services that include medical care, behavioral health services, and dental services. And we provide these services for everybody in the community, regardless of their insurance status or ability to pay. And at our center, we provide everything from prenatal care through geriatric care.
And so who shows up at your facility?
Well, all kinds of people. And first of all, I always like to stress that it's not a walk-in clinic. This is a true health home where we have primary care providers, and we want our patients to become attached to a PCP and have a team that works with them and provide really great integrated health care. So that's sort of at the heart of what we do. Squirrel Hill Health Center, which has been open for over 9 years now, has a special focus, in addition to all the sort of general needs of the larger population, on immigrants and refugees. And about half of our patients have limited English proficiency. We see almost every newly arriving refugee in Allegheny County, and a wide variety of immigrants. And then we also take care of anyone who needs us or who understands the importance and value of the comprehensive services that we provide and wants to come and be our patient.
How much has demand for your services increased over the years?
So we experienced 5 consecutive years of 30% growth year after year in our patient volume. In the last year, we really maxed out at our present site. We hit capacity, and so it was hard to sustain that level of growth. But one of the things that this new grant does for us is it's going to greatly increase our ability to care for even more patients.
Where would people turn for their health care needs if a place like the Squirrel Hill Health Center wasn't there to provide for them?
Well, it can be very challenging, particularly for low-income individuals, people who don't have health insurance, or people who are on Medicaid. A lot of private practices really are not equipped to provide services to these folks. And so the Community Health Center Network, which exists in all over the country, in urban areas and rural areas as well, really was created in 1972 to serve the needs of these residents.
And what are the challenges that you face that are, you know, particularly impact what you do at a place like Squirrel Hill Health Center?
Well, we have a wide variety of challenges. First of all, many of our patients have really complex needs. That's one of the reasons that we have added behavioral health services over the years. We've added dental services and prenatal care. Many of our patients have socioeconomic factors that affect their ability to coordinate care, and they do better, as I actually believe everybody does better, with a primary care provider who can help coordinate those services. So that is definitely one of our challenges. Another of our challenges is that half of our patients really don't speak English. And our patients speak one of among 50 different languages. Nepali is now our second most common language after English, followed by Spanish, followed by Arabic. So we have to be able to provide culturally competent services to all of our patients, regardless of their background, in the language they speak. And we want to be respectful of their beliefs, of their cultural background, and the impact that that has on their needs for health care.
And why would so many people who speak English as a second or third or even fourth or fifth language be coming to you? Why are you seeing a preponderance of of these folks?
So as you may know, and your listeners may know, Allegheny County is currently experiencing really the first growth in immigrant and refugee populations in many, many years. And we, as I said, when we opened, we knew that there were some refugees and immigrants who might be having trouble getting health care services, and that was one of the reasons we were created, was to try to address the needs of those patients.
And you've only seen that increase.
And we have seen it increase exponentially. It has really been remarkable. We now see approximately 400 newly arriving refugees every year, and that's in addition to all of our other patients.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Susan Friedberg-Kalson. She's CEO of the Squirrel Hill Health Center, a funding recipient that is part of a group of five new health center sites in Pennsylvania that are receiving additional monies from the Affordable Care Act funding that of an increased amount of over $3 million, which will significantly impact how they go about providing their services. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at on Twitter at esspgh. Again, on Twitter at esspgh. If you want to tweet us, how are you dealing with language barriers? Do you hire interpreters? You mentioned, you know, having all of these people that are, you know, whose primary language is not English or who may not be able to speak English at all. So how do you work through that?
So we address it from multiple perspectives. We have staff members who are fluent in a variety of different languages, and we like to hire staff members who reflect our patient communities. So we have hired, for instance, Bhutanese refugees, native Spanish speakers, native Arabic speakers. We have Hebrew speakers on our staff. So our staff itself is very diverse, and in that way we can communicate directly with our patients. We also hire interpreters to come on site in person and work with our patients and our staff when there's an appointment. And we use telephone interpretation services. So we really go at it all different ways. It can be challenging. It can be very expensive. It is mandated by federal law that any healthcare provider receiving Medicaid or Medicare dollars has to provide interpretation services. And we take that mandate very, very seriously. And we know it's the best way to take care of our patients.
Overall, from where you sit, how would you say the Affordable Care Act has impacted healthcare in Pittsburgh and particularly where you are in Squirrel Hill?
So it's certainly a work in progress. The Affordable Care Act is still rolling out. We are certainly seeing more patients who were previously uninsured who are now insured. And that's particularly true now that Pennsylvania is working towards full expanded Medicaid implementation. And that is enormously helpful for our low-income patients who really had been falling through the cracks before. So we see that. We also are seeing an increased awareness of the need for primary care services, because that is a focal point of the Affordable Care Act. And for us as a health center, we are receiving dollars that were made available, not just through this new grant, but some federal funds that were made available through the Affordable Care Act to help us continue to grow and expand our services. And we actually received a grant about a year ago to expand our behavioral health services that came to us through the Affordable Care Act. So it's benefiting our ability and capacity to take care of our patients at the same time that we're seeing more patients emerging.
The if you looked at the Republican debate last week, for example, the candidates who are running for president for the GOP, during that discourse, they spoke of the Affordable Care Act as one of the worst things that's ever happened to this country. Clearly, this has been criticized. Obamacare, as it's called, has been criticized extensively. So from where you're sitting, or from your point of view, your perspective as someone who has boots on the ground, if you will, when you hear that, what is your reaction?
Well, we don't take political stands, of course, but I will say.
But I guess what I'm asking you is it, you know, we're hearing that it's a bad thing. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's a mess.
Is
it causing a mess for you?
No. It has its challenges, and there are certainly challenges in implementation. I think everybody knows there were issues with the computer systems in the marketplace, and those issues are still being ironed out.
What might some of those other challenges be, in addition to problems with computers and
going online? Well, particularly in states that did not immediately implement Medicaid expansion, that created a very difficult situation for us as providers.
Right.
And Pennsylvania was one of them. That was not the way the act was originally envisioned. It only happened that way because of the Supreme Court decision around mandated enforcement of Medicaid expansion. So we have had a bumpier start than we would have had we gone immediately to full Medicaid expansion. And this is, as I said, a work in progress. Is it perfect? No. Does it advance our population beyond where we were? Yes. And by our population, I mean the United States of America. We have tens of millions of people who were previously uninsured. If you don't have insurance in this country, you cannot afford to go to a doctor unless you have access to a federally qualified health center or a similar community health center. Costs are astronomical. Uninsured patients are often charged the full rate for services, not the rate an insurance company would be paid for those services, but many times that amount. That was a completely untenable situation. It creates public health hazards. It drives up costs across the system. It leads to inappropriate use of emergency rooms because they are required to have open access, as we are. And that's not a good use of those resources. Emergency rooms should be for emergency medical situations. Primary care practices should be for primary care. We're in the business of keeping people healthy, managing chronic conditions like diabetes and hypertension, and helping our patients understand how to take better care of themselves so that they can avoid huge medical needs and medical costs. That benefits the system. That saves dollars to the system. And community health centers have a long and proven track record of saving millions, billions of dollars to Medicaid by providing these preventive services, by being on the ground, by understanding our patients and working with them, keeping them out of the hospital, keeping them away from unnecessarily expensive medical procedures by addressing their issues earlier and keeping them healthier.
So the good news is people are being proactive. They are going online, or they're working through the system to get coverage. More people are covered, mm-hmm. therefore more people are coming in.
Yep.
They're avoiding those emergency rooms, and sounds like you're saying all of that is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
412-246-2002 if you want to join the conversation with Susan Friedberg-Kalson, who is CEO of the Squirrel Hill Health Center. We have Dave in Pittsburgh on the line. Dave, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. Thank you. Susan, I've been with your practice before, I've wondered about accessibility issues. You know, you're talking a lot about open up access, but it seems very difficult to even get a hold of anybody in your office, you know, for any essential kind of need, and to see any access. You know, how I can only imagine what the difference would be if there was a language barrier with someone and even trying to get a hold of your office for any kind of service.
Well,
Dave, you're saying that you've experienced a problem with getting a hold of a live person or getting routed to the right areas.
A live person at Squirrel Health Center.
So I really appreciate your question. I know we are very painfully aware that that's been an issue in the past. I'm going to address it in two ways. First of all, just so you know, in the last few months, partly because we now have enough funding to hire some more staff, we now have a system in place so that not 100% of the time, but virtually 100% of the time, a live person is answering the calls. So we have a dedicated staff person at the front office who's answering the phone instead of it going to an answering machine, which we know, or a voicemail, which we know was problematic, and much smoother access to our nurses to deal with medical issues. So I know that has been problematic. I also, looking forward, one of the things that this new grant is going to enable us to do is we're actually going to open up a second site fully staffed. So we are going to double our capacity. That means there's going to be more staff people managing calls and more appointments available. Because that's been another problem. As we've grown and grown, it has become harder and harder to schedule an appointment, and we hate that. That is not what we want to be about. So I'm really sorry you've had difficulty, you know, in contacting us in the past. As I said, we have been very painfully aware that that's been a challenge for some of our patients, and we have been working to address those issues, and these new funds will really relieve a lot of that congestion, and I cannot wait to be at that point.
Thank you, Dave, for that phone call. Again, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And you were talking earlier about people coming in, particularly refugees or immigrants mm-hmm. new to the country, seeking out your services. Why do you suppose so many people come to a place like the Squirrel Hill Health Center as opposed to having their own primary care physician or, you know, visiting a private practice, that kind of thing?
Well, we are a primary care physician, so that we do become their own primary care physician. Well, there are a couple different reasons. First of all, we do have this interest in and system built around cultural competency and language access. So originally when we opened, word spread through friends and acquaintances that we were a practice where we understood what some of the barriers to care for immigrants and refugees might be. And as well, at that time, a lot of people might have fallen into the category of being low-wage workers and uninsured. So we have always had and always will have a sliding fee scale that's based on household income for folks who don't have insurance.
So it's a community, it's more of a community-based
yes.
approach as opposed to, you know, walking into somebody's practice
right.
and their fee is what their fee is
exactly.
and whatever your insurance doesn't cover, you're paying that difference.
Right. We are always about access, and that's one of the mandates of this federal funding for a federally qualified health center. You have to offer a sliding fee scale that's based on household income for any patient whose income falls below 200% of the federal poverty level. So all of us work within that. The other reason that people come to us is that we actually are what's called a preferred provider with the Pennsylvania Department of Health around services for newly arriving refugees. So we provide some mandatory comprehensive exams and services for refugees as they're entering this country through this very rigorous process created by the State Department. So that's another reason we have that patient base.
Let's go to another caller. We have Carl in North Hills who wants to join the conversation with Susan Friedberg-Kalson. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Susan, I got a question for you. This doesn't have to do particularly with your locale there, but why is our healthcare system in this country so expensive? I can't always blame the patients, you know, because they've got overwhelming issues and things like that. We've done a lot, you know, with preventative medicine like you people are doing. But I very rarely hear any criticism from your field, you know, the healthcare providers, you know, as to what's wrong here or what's wrong there. You know, they just wait for somebody else to intercede, whether it's the insurance companies or Health and Human Services or somebody to force people's hands, you know.
Well, first of all, I have to give a disclaimer. I am not a health economist and I am not a physician. So my approach to this really is through the world in which I live. But I do think that we have a long history of excessive use of very expensive services, an insurance system that frankly has driven up some of those costs. Payment methodology in the past in which physicians were reimbursed based on how many services they provided, how many tests they provided, didn't do anything to lower the costs. One of the things about federally qualified health centers is that at least for Medicaid, we are paid on a cost basis. So we bundle everything we do together. We have no incentive to do more tests or, you know, provide many more services that aren't necessary because we're not going to get paid anymore to do that.
But do some places do that? You know, do some people, one of the trepidations people have about showing up at the doctor's office is that the doctor is going to recommend other tests, mm-hmm. other medications, whatever it is that drives up the cost of their visit, and that there might be an incentive for the doctors to do that.
Right. Now, I don't want to, cast aspersions on the medical profession,
but
I would say that we've had a very perverse reimbursement system in this country for many years, and I think we're living with the after effects of that. I think that trying to address that, which is one of the things the Affordable Care Act does try to do, is to change reimbursement methodology, not just in community health centers, but in other settings as well.
Are you saying that methodology is what's driven up the costs?
I think it's a part of it. I certainly think it's a part of it. And we also have an issue in this country, and this is a whole sort of other topic of conversation around end-of-life care. We have a system that has been built on the premise that for everybody, more is better. And many Americans end their lives in hospitals having run up enormous bills for treatment that is futile. There was a very interesting study that just came out recently, within the last couple of months, of physicians and how physicians choose to spend their last days. And physicians die at home. They die at home with hospice care. They don't die in hospitals hooked up to a lot of machines, having a lot of unnecessary services. That isn't just about cost. That is also about quality of life. And I think we need to keep having very serious conversations about how we really want to not only live but die, and what is best for individuals, which in turn, I am confident, is also better for the economy of health services.
Susan Friedberg-Kelson is CEO of the Squirrel Hill Health Center. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for coming in to visit us at Essential Pittsburgh.
Really a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Keystone Crossroads series, looking at how cities can make better use of their waterfronts. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.